This episode of Between the Rows was brought to you in part by Bayer. Bayer continues to make significant investments into the development of new breeding technologies and state-of-the-art cropping solutions to ensure the profitability and sustainability of your farm. This season, grow with confidence. Grow with Bayer.
Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications. Today, we'll hear from Rob O'Connor, manager of Glacier Farm Media's unique Ag in Motion show.
I think this is going to change the way we actually farm as much as GPS did 20 years ago. I'm really excited to see how this will move farming forward.
Bruce Burnett, GFM's Director of Markets and Weather Information, checks in from his annual Prairie Summer Crop Tour.
The soybean crop, which is a little late and very short right at the moment, but certainly with the warmer temperatures, we should see that crop progress a little better.
And Lisa Gunther from Grain News brings us a fascinating look at a Wilkie, Saskatchewan blacksmithing operation.
Comparing a general blacksmith and a farrier is like comparing a bread baker and a pastry chef.
All on Between the Rows with this week's host, Laura Rance.
Hi, and welcome to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Laura Rance. We've all been watching the crops grow in our own neck of the woods, but how does what you're seeing compare to what's happening across the prairies? There's nothing that beats having a first-hand look. So, in keeping with a tradition that dates back more than 100 years, we've sent our Director of Weather and Markets Information, Bruce Burnett, out on a crop tour. Bruce will be logging more than 4,000 kilometers over the next week or so as he assesses the state of the prairie crop. He'll be giving a more complete report at next week's Ag in Motion Outdoor Farm Show near Saskatoon, but he's joining us today to tell us what he's seen so far. Hi, Bruce. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be here.
So where are you this morning?
I'm in the lovely south areas of southwest Saskatchewan, reporting from Swift Current this morning, where it's cloudy and actually quite cool, which is a change from what they've seen over the past couple of weeks at least.
So the weather's been pretty dry in some parts of the prairies. Is this one of the areas that's been affected?
Yes, certainly the southern areas of Saskatchewan, especially in the south central and southwestern areas, have been quite dry here over the past month. And the crops are starting to show some of the problems that are associated with that. In general, they're very short, and certainly yesterday, driving through the south central and south western parts of Saskatchewan, with temperatures hitting the 35 degree mark, you could certainly see the crops under some degree of stress.
So this cooler weather and a little bit of moisture today isn't a bad thing.
Oh no, certainly this is good. Certainly stops some of the deterioration. Unfortunately, the forecast looks like it's going to turn hot and dry as we move through the rest of this week. So certainly it's just going to be a brief reprieve. There have been some substantial thunderstorms, which have given a fair amount, but mostly it's been just spotty rains that have fallen.
So how are things looking generally then from what you've seen so far?
Well, certainly since I started in Manitoba, the crops in that province look very good. I would say a good average for what we've seen over the past few years. The concern in Manitoba, I think, is the soybean crop, which is a little late and very short right at the moment. But certainly with the warmer temperatures, we should see that crop progress a little better. The wheat and canola crops look very good in Manitoba, and even parts of eastern Saskatchewan, those crops are looking very good.
So you'll be headed further west and then north again?
Yes, certainly. We're heading north, a little bit north today, into west central Saskatchewan and back down into southern Alberta to take a look there. After that, I'll travel up into northern Alberta. Unfortunately, not the Peace River region. That's a bit far for me to drive, but certainly northern Alberta, right around the Edmonton area, and then back into northern Saskatchewan.
It's a bit early to maybe get a good handle on the potential yields, but what will you be able to share with farmers when you report in next week?
Well, certainly I'm going to talk about the crop conditions in general, we can talk a little bit about the yield ranges that I think some of these crops are going to come in at. So certainly that'll be a topic for discussion. Also, any other problems that I see I'm going to highlight as well, for general interest sakes in terms of diseases or weed pressure, that type of thing.
And will you also be including anything about the market outlook?
Yes, well, I'll talk briefly about the market outlook. Of course, I think the markets are what everybody's talking about this time of year, given the rapid rise in the spring wheat, canola, and soybean prices.
So where will farmers coming to the show next week be able to find you?
I'm going to be at our own booth, the Weather Farm booth, as well as markets. The markets booth will be in there as well, so there'll be a little area set out, and I'm going to give a very brief presentation. I realize that people have other things to do at this show, but certainly that's where you can get a hold of me.
And what time of day are you going to be talking to farmers?
At 1 o'clock on each day of the show.
And farmers, I understand, will be able to sign up to get a fuller version of your report?
Yes, I'm going to put pen to paper and write up my observations put a full report out in the week following our the Ag in Motion show.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Bruce. We'll talk to you more next week.
Thanks a lot.
Bruce Burnett is Glacier Farm Media's Director of Weather and Markets Information. You're listening to Between the Rows. I'm your host, Laura Rantz. Next up, we're talking to Rob O'Connor, the General Manager for Ag in Motion, about some of the highlights at next week's show. Hi, Rob.
Good morning.
So, Rob, you've been out at the site this past week or so. How are things looking as the show gets ready for next week?
Well, things have really come along in the last week or 10 days. The crop plots have grown really well. They look very impressive. The tents and the show site starting to develop as we get closer to the show. It just seems to be more and more real every day.
Are you starting to see some exhibitors roll in?
Yes, we've had quite a number of large equipment companies starting to come with their different products. And as I mentioned earlier, the crop plots are starting to be groomed and look the way they need to for a show.
So this is the third year for Ag in Motion. How has it changed from year one to year three?
Well, the show itself is over double in size compared to the first year. In the very first year, I think we had about 15 or 16 crop plot companies. Now we're up to 27. The total number of acres of crop plots, whether they're the small crop plots or the large trials, have expanded from about 50 acres to 150 acres. We have more companies doing equipment demonstrations than ever before, and our livestock and dairy section of the show has grown by about 50% from last year to this year as well.
So these field demonstrations are something that makes this show rather unique in the farm show scene.
Yes, I think that's what really separates this event from any other agriculture event. It's the opportunity for farmers to really participate in the interactive displays, whether it's the exhibits or the demonstrations or the crop plots. I think it just offers that opportunity for people to see things actually working in the field.
Well, we've been giving a lot of coverage to at least one of the new technologies that's out there this year, the DOT platform. Just briefly, how could that change how farmers operate on the prairies?
Well, we're really excited about being the first opportunity for farmers to actually see the DOT technology being demonstrated in a public forum, and to see an autonomous vehicle actually being part of an implement and making that work in an agriculture farming scenario is, I think, amazing. And I think this is going to change the way we actually farm as much as GPS did 20 years ago. I'm really excited to see how this will move farming forward with the use of autonomous vehicles.
So what's the defining feature about this that makes it so unique?
Well, I think what's amazing to me is now one person can operate or supervise several different implements working at the same time. And I think that really addresses the need from a farmer's standpoint of operating their operation, whether it's 24 hours in a day or with less people, just because the labor shortage in agriculture is always such a stumbling block for some people. I also think as farms become even more efficient and have larger acreage sizes, now here we have an opportunity to manage that increased farm size differently than we've ever had an opportunity to do before.
But this is different than the robotic or driverless tractors that we've been seeing demonstrated in the past. How does this function differently than a tractor?
Well, what I like is that this function actually itself attaches to the implement and works that implement across the field. It's also able to identify obstacles with the software program that's involved with this. So whether it's telephone poles or water sources or shapes in the field that aren't square and rectangular in shape, this software package allows the autonomous vehicle to understand the field once it's been mapped, and it can do the whole process.
So it actually makes the specific implements almost like a self-propelled unit as opposed to actually needing a tractor on the field.
Yeah, exactly. It pins to itself, or it actually attaches to that implement, and it's actually the implement that's doing the work instead of having to be dragged around by a tractor.
I kind of expect those demonstrations might be well attended.
We certainly are excited to have them. The very first demonstration will be at 10 o'clock on the 18th, following the official opening of the show.
What else is on the lineup there next week?
Well, one of the really great things that Ag in Motion offers farmers to see are all these number of different crop plots. There's about 27 companies that showcase different things, from experimental crops that aren't yet registered, so you can see them. Just like last year, CPS unveiled the PV540G canola. Again, it'll be featured at the show this year, but there's other crops that are in the experimental stage that farmers can see that will come to market in the next year or so. Some amazing stuff that I saw yesterday, in fact, was that the Seacan plots, there's some European varieties of winter wheat that I think will just blow your mind away. Companies like Dow, they show how different herbicides, the benefit of using them and the different combinations. They actually have demonstrations of different crop with a control strip right beside it so you can see the effects. Monsanto has some amazing varieties of products. SAS Pulse, they've brought a large number of peas. I mean, I've never seen so many pea varieties in one place in my life.
Really?
And then companies like ATP and Stoller, they've brought in some of their products. ATP has the Field of Dreams, their canola, and Stoller's brought their entire product line. And also new this year is a new crop, quinoa, and that's something I think farmers will want to look at. You know, Western farmers have done a great job diversifying their crops, and here's just one more opportunity to do that again.
Quinoa is grown in South America.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be some great opportunities for Western farmers, just like pulse crops.
So what is some of the other new technology that you see coming to this show this year?
Well, what we've been very excited about is the innovations program. There's about a dozen other innovations coming to the show this year, and I'm going to leave those so that people come and see them. I'm not going to take our time today to actually describe each one of them, but we've got a tremendous number and high-quality innovations being showcased at the show. And as part of that program, we also partnered with Saskatchewan Regional Economic Development Authority, and they created a program called the Harvest Program, where they recruited companies to come to the show. In their process, there was 27 companies that applied, and from those 27 companies, a committee pared it down and through this competition model, selected four companies to come to the show as part of a Sarita exhibit, which will be in the Ag Pavilion.
I understand the livestock section has also expanded this year?
Yes, the livestock portion of the show has grown. I think that mimics how much better the livestock industry is in Canada as well. And with that growth in the livestock industry, we've seen that similar type of growth at the show. There are more livestock equipment demonstrations than we had in last year's show. The dairy section of the show, again, has grown. We're offering special opportunities for dairy farmers at our show. And that's really because Ag in Motion is now the show that fills that space where the dairy companies and farmers need to get together for an event so they can showcase their products to the farmers. In Western Canada, outside of one event in Red Deer, there really isn't an opportunity for farmers to get together and look at dairy equipment and the dairy farming process. So Ag in Motion fills that need.
And there's a lineup of speakers as well if people want to take a break from wandering around.
Yeah, we're really excited about unveiling for the first time a group of speakers each day specific to the livestock business. And that, we've partnered with the Ministry of Agriculture's Livestock and Forage Specialists to produce. And there's some great speakers there. There's a wonderful speaker coming up to talk about handling cattle in a pen and forage discussions. I mean, there's some wonderful topics. So feel free to look on our website at the show guide to get the full schedule of who those people are and when they're speaking.
So I guess that brings us to, Rob, if someone is coming to Ag in Motion for the first time, what are some of the things they should keep in mind as they get to the site? Is there a place, you know, as far as getting tickets and parking, what should they be doing?
Well, the details of the show, certainly there are tickets at the gate. If you want to get tickets at a discounted price, you can go online to agandmotion.ca. There's still some tickets available at the discounted rate, but if you're unable to do that, there's certainly tickets available at the gate. The show hours are 8:30 to 4:30 every day. That's Tuesday, July 18th to Thursday, the 20th. Some other improvements we made at the show for people who have been at the show in the past and had some issues with cell phone coverage. We dug a fiber optics cable all the way from Langham from the junction box in Langham to the site, and we've brought a temporary cell phone service. So Wi-Fi, internet, and cell phone and hotspots should all be working nearly 100% for the 3 days of the show.
Well, that's great, Rob. Thanks for joining us. Let's hope the weather cooperates next week.
Well, thank you very much. I look forward to next week and seeing everybody there.
Rob O'Connor is the show manager for Ag in Motion, the outdoor farm show that runs July 18th to 20th, just north of Saskatoon. This is Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Laura Rantz. Coming up, we take you to Wilkie, Saskatchewan, and a look into the ancient world of blacksmithing, but with a modern twist. But first, we bring you the Western producer's Robin Booker, who spoke to Viterra's Durham market specialist Marty Langdon at the recent Farm Progress Show in Regina. Durham hasn't been following the recent run-up in wheat prices. Robin and Marty talked about why premiums may be hard to come by in Durham markets this year.
First of all, Marty, why is the Durham price lagging compared to other commodities? Well, I think it's basically, it's the idea that global stocks are very comfortable. We've come off of record production pretty much everywhere around the world. And those stocks, you know, they generally are lower quality than, you know, we probably want to mill or millers want to put through their plants. But there's a lot of durum out there. This year, the stock situation, we're growing less durum globally, but the quality so far has been very good. So you couple a good quality, lower volume or average volume crop, you couple that with, you know, burdensome stocks from carryout, and there's a lot of blending that can happen. So these guys are just being patient and, you know, waiting. There's no urgency on the end-use demand side to chase a bid. Or chase the offer, rather. It's just there's plenty of durum out there, and I think that's probably why we're trending sideways as opposed to joining the rally in other markets.
You mentioned that no one cares about the grade anymore. It's all about the VAMI. Could I get you to explain that?
Yeah, I think we've almost had a situation happen where, you know, quality-sensitive buyers who valued, you know, buying one amber durum and two amber durum, you know, they still value that. They want the quality, but at the same time, you know, the last few years we haven't been able to consistently supply it. So we've almost forced their hand to look at alternatives, and they found that they can actually, you know, meet their end use product specs using a lesser quality durum. So they, you know, will they go back to it? Sure, if we can show that we consistently supply that, but are they going to pay big premiums over lower quality grades? Probably not. I think they're going to, you know, buy, as any buyer would, the cheapest quality that they can find that still allows them to meet their consumer needs.
What's your price expectation this summer going into the fall?
My thoughts are we're going to trend sideways. There is definitely a firmer tone to the durum market. We've seen some rally already. You know, a couple months ago we were buying 3 amber durum for $5.50. Now we're seeing $6.25 a bushel bids. I'm guessing that gets us through the summer. There's not a whole bunch of demand that needs to be filled, so I don't see, you know, anybody really chasing old crop values. We don't have no place to sell it. And then you're getting into new crop harvest. So, you know, typically new crop values may actually soften. You get an inverted market. So if I had to put on my forward-looking glasses, I'd say we're going to be kind of range-bound around $6, somewhere in there. I don't see a major catalyst that says durum values are going to skyrocket anytime soon, unless it just has to in order to play somewhat of a catch-up game with some of the other commodities like spring wheat that is enjoying some nice rallies right now.
So for some of the farmers who are sitting on some high VAMI durum, maybe hoping to blend it off, you said that might not be the best strategy.
It depends. You know, if we return to normal weather conditions and we get, you know, a nice timely rain once a month through the heat of summer, and there's a chance that we grow a low VAMI crop, you know, it probably is a nice thing to have tucked away in a bin. Why not, right? If you have a low VAMI crop, some better quality crop, some of this stuff probably blends. And if you can't blend it on your own farm, I'm guessing somebody in the industry might say, I can't give you a full 3 amber durum value for it, but I can give you a bit of a premium because we'll take the chance on blending it. If we have a high VAMI crop, it's probably not the best thing to have in the bin because you're just going to add more quality or quantity of poor quality grain with limited homes to the stockpile, and I can only see value softening again. It all depends on weather. If we repeat last year's weather event and rain, you know, every other day, I probably wouldn't want to be carrying old crop high VAMI durum in the bin. If it doesn't look like VAMI's an issue, it might be a nice play to carry it.
That was Robin Booker with the Western Producer talking to Barty Langdon, who works for Viterra. Well, we have one more item for you this week. Grain News reporter Lisa Gunther recently visited Chokejerry Forge, operated by the modern-day smithy Jim Gerlinski.
Jim Gerlinski's house looks like a typical home in Welkie, Saskatchewan. But walking into the garage tucked into his backyard is a bit like walking back in time, because Jim is a blacksmith, and his garage is home to Chokejerry Forge. And the first thing you need to know when you visit a blacksmith is that you should assume everything is hot.
The other thing is you're going to get dirty. So if you don't mind, I will finish up what I'm working on here. I'm working on steak turners today. These are probably still a bit warm.
Earlier this spring, Jim welcomed the Saskatchewan Farm Writers Association into his workshop as he prepared for a craft sale.
Right now what I'm doing is turning the crank. It's blowing air in under the fire to make it hotter.
Jim takes commissions. He sells his steak turners at craft sales. He also creates and sells everything from spear tips for medieval enthusiasts to old-fashioned dinner gongs.
I've been doing it as a hobby for almost as long as I can remember, and I'm earning most of my living at it since 93.
But unlike what you might see in the movies, blacksmiths like Jim don't shoe horses.
Comparing a general blacksmith and a farrier is like comparing a bread baker and a pastry chef. We use the same tools, the same materials, but we come up with something completely different.
Jim was first inspired to fire up a forge after watching Ole Rowe work metal. Rowe was a professional blacksmith married to one of Jim's relatives, and Jim got to see him in action when Rowe was visiting the family.
And I just fell in love with the way Ole was moving metal with nothing but heat and a hammer. I fell in love with it and decided that's what I have to do.
Jim isn't short on inspiration. He told us that each design seems to spark two more ideas. I asked whether he ever gets ideas from a piece of metal, but he said no.
I'm the boss, I'm the master in here. I don't let the material drive the form. I figured, I need to make such and such, and I will go through the scrap pile and find out something that's close.
Jim works with both scrap metal and new stock, depending on the project. Usually he uses mild steel, but for some projects he'll recycle old springs.
It's not the best way to do it, but it works, and I've been doing this long enough I can hold a piece of metal to the grindstone, see what the sparks look like, and make a pretty good guess on what to do with it.
Those sparks indicate carbon content, he told us.
On spring steel for knives or something, you want a bright yellow spark that has lots of forks on it. Mild steel is a pretty dull, pretty plain spark.
Jim tells us his masterpiece is an iron and poplar table titled Ponto. Right now, that piece is touring with the Sask Craft Council's Dimensions exhibition. Ponto recently won the Award for Excellence in Metal from the Sask Craft Council. For more information on Jim's work, visit Choke Cherry Forge on Facebook.
That was Lisa Gunther of Grain News. That's all we have for you this week on Between the Rows, but we'll be back again next week reporting from Ag and Motion. Goodbye for now, and thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Laura Rance.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Rows. Our goal at Bayer is to continue to progress our lineup of high-performing seed and crop protection solutions so that we can meet specific grower needs like yours. Because when it comes to your farm, Bayer is with you from beginning to end. Between the Rows is a production of Glacier Farm Media, Canada's leading farm publisher. We'd love to hear what you think of the show and invite you to send your comments to btr@farmmedia.com or visit us at membersgetmore.ca and sign up today.